The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, we're about to start another episode, but before we do, please make sure you subscribe, tell your friends, and hit that notification button to make sure you never miss an episode. All right, Brian, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, welcome to the show. Believe You Me, Luis J. Gomez, Michael Bisping in the house. Luis, what is up, buddy? Look at
my
this.
My eyes are open. I'm awake. I'm not high. Don't everyone calm fucking down. Don't worry. The amount of comments that I saw, like, dude, fucking Luis, man, he's got a real problem. The weed seems to be really getting to relax.
Heroin, guys. Heroin. Have a bit of sympathy. That's what you should be trying to do. Help this man. Not throwing ridicule and shame on the man. That's going to drive him further into the hole. Raise him up. Much like the director last week that we saw, positive reinforcement. Luis, you're doing great. You're doing fantastic. No, you look good, buddy. You look like you're leaning out. You're shaving regularly. These are all positive signs.
I'm a little bit shaved today. I feel a little bit better today. A little bit, I'm in a good mood. You know what it is? It was a rainy day today here in New York. Or New York, New Jersey, and New York / New York, but it almost like, I don't know, it just it kind of made me appreciate, I don't know, I appreciated just the fucking good weather. It was kind of rainy and dreary all day. I was like, god damn it, dude, when it's nice, it's really nice. So the whole weekend was really, really nice, and I don't know, I'm in a good mood. How are you feeling, buddy?
Good. I'm glad you're in a good mood. Well, let's have a great show. Let's put positive vibes forward to the universe, the Believe You Me universe. And thank you all for being on the premiere comment section. I lurk there sometimes and I leave the odd comment and everybody says, it's not you. Well, fuck you. It is me. Anyway, No, I'm good, man. I had a good weekend. Feel nice and rested myself. Thank you very much. Watched the fight Saturday. It was a gloomy day in California as well on Saturday, believe it or not. We had the fire on. We had the fucking fire on. It was still in Celsius. It was like 24 degrees Celsius, which is what, like 79? And Rebecca's got the fucking fire on in the house. But anyway, there you go. Watch the fights. We'll get into all that stuff. And then yesterday we went, because it's hard what to do right now because of the COVID stuff, which we're not going to get into. But, you know, doing activities with your kids and whatnot, you know. And I was trying to find something to do. And I thought, oh, I know, indoor rock climbing. I'll check that out. And it turns out there's a place like 5 minutes by my house. So, we Google it. I call them up. I book a session. Lucas is very excited. And, of course, I scaled the largest indoor rock climbing wall in the world recently in Dubai. So, you know, I'm a fucking expert at this, Luis. Have you ever done this phenomenon?
Just when I was younger at Six Flags, I tried to rock climb and I just didn't have the strength to get myself up the wall. Now, right now, you know, Team Rattlesnake, you know, Fight Journal, Luis J. Gomez, that's a different thing. I would love to test myself now and see where I would go. But, you know, the younger, fatter, goth, long-haired, eyeliner-wearing Luis J. Gomez, I tried to do it when I was 18 years old. It did not fare well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? To be honest, it's actually easier than what it looks. But, if you take James, I don't know, he's pretty much like Lucas. We started doing it with Lucas and we got teamed up with another family while they gave a little demonstration. And the wall wasn't very big. I'd say 15 feet. But when you're up there, it does feel kind of high. Maybe 20 feet, who knows? Anyway, the other family that was with us, they had a kid that was definitely younger than Lucas. And this little shit was like Spider-Man. Do you know what I mean? He was up and down. He was loving it. He was ringing the bell at the top of the wall. And we're like, okay. And then they're like, right, it's Lucas's turn. And Lucas goes up. He gets up about 3 steps. And then starts panicking, freezing, screaming, crying. I'm like, Lucas.
Oh my God.
number one, this is embarrassing as fuck because the other family and the father of that family was like an alpha male. He was all jacked out and stuff. I'm like, don't be fucking embarrassing me because everything is a competition, okay?
Yeah, of course.
And how quick you get up that wall, you have, I don't care how quick you do it, but you got to do it faster than that other kid, okay? So what is going on? And he starts crying. I'm like, Lucas, just calm down. Think you're safe. Number one, you've got a rope. There's lots of things around you. Just calm your mind. No, you're not going to get hurt. And let's think about it. Where are you going to put your foot? And he's like, no. And he starts arguing back. And I'm like, hey, Lucas, cut that out right now. And then Rebecca's like, this is so embarrassing, Michael. What's going on? I'm like, okay, calm down. So I had to pull him to one side, have a little word and say, Lucas, you got to control yourself in these situations. Then he's crying. I'm like, oh my God. Then I look around, the other kids all over the place swinging on fucking ropes.
Ringing the bell,
ropes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Ding. Shame.
I'm like, for fuck's sake, Lucas, you got to get this shit together. So yeah. Take
it's
change.
It's a weird thing. I have a very similar thing because like you want to be sweet, but you don't want your kid to be a pussy. You want him to be like fucking, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to shame my kid for not, you know, being able to do those things. But it's such a weird like line because I feel myself being embarrassed as well. This happens all the time. Like yesterday I was reading Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Yeah, I told you I bought that book.
I ordered the book.
Oh, you ordered it.
I ordered it as we were sitting there. This is how much I listened to you, Lewis. You say I ordered the book. I ordered it right there and then on Amazon.
You listen to me so much that you stop listening to me to order a book in the middle of me speaking.
Multitasking, looking at phone, listening with ears. Continue, sir.
So I read it to him and my niece, and she's 5, he's 7. And I'm just reading this story and I'm doing a spooky voice. And of course, he just starts getting nervous. I'm like, oh, he's like, I want to leave. And she's sitting there. She's like, no, keep going. I'm like, James, she's a fucking little girl. She's 5 years old. Please just relax. It's not a big deal. And then I read it to him last night. And then, of course, when I went to go put him to bed, he runs after I put him to his bed. He comes into my room again. He's like, hey, I'm going to have nightmares. Can I sleep with you? And I just want to be like, no, you can't sleep with me. I want to jerk off or do whatever else.
I've taken 3 Blue Chew. Okay. Listen, son, if you stay in here, I'm just saying.
You're going to have nightmares. All right. You think you're going to have nightmares if you're in your room.
You're going to look around and you're going to catch me going balls deep with a bottle of lotion and going 10 to the dozen. Okay. So you don't want to see this, son.
It's like, no, look, I feel bad. I feel bad to argue with him to not sleep in my bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, why else? Why can't he sleep in my bed? I have no excuse for him to not be able to sleep in my bed.
I mean, listen, if you want to jerk off in private, which
it's
I get.
Not really because I want to jerk off.
No, I know. But listen, but if that is the case or whatever you want to do, I mean, you know. Just he'll fall asleep soon. As long as if you didn't scare the shit out of your own son, that is, of course. But you know what I find good in those little times? Just a little kid's melatonin, baby boy. Little kid's melatonin. Send him off to the fucking sleepy dream world.
Wait, what
very, very fast. Kid's melatonin.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what melatonin is?
I've heard the word.
Oh, it just helps you sleep. It just gets you to sleep much quicker and you have a really nice sleep, actually. I take it quite a lot. But there's a kid's version. And only every now and again, if he's had like a few late nights or whatever, we'll say, here, well, let's get him I want him to have an early night, so we give him a kid's melatonin. And I'm telling you, knocks him out in 5 minutes. Nice. And he's gone and he sleeps like a fucking baby.
I give him a bong hit. He's fine.
Yeah, you know, whatever kind of downer you want to do. So me and Rebecca were there at the indoor rock climbing, and Rebecca tries it and she goes up. And of course, we haven't got a person that's holding the rope. So the guy demonstrated how we hold the safety rope. So no matter how far up you go, if you fall off, it's okay. There's a safety rope, there's a mechanism, there's a hook, you know, and as you go up, you got to give them more slack to get further up. And then if they fall, there's like a device that, you know, stops the rope from, you know, stops them from falling down. But when they want to come down, you have to push this lever and slowly feed the rope in so that, you know, the person can come down. You know, what goes up must come down type thing. You know, like this is Rebecca. This is me feeding the rope. They're coming down. Steady, nice, gradual, no problem. Okay. Then it's my turn to go up the wall. Even though I just had a knee replacement 6 weeks ago, you know, listen, if this is what we're doing, Lewis, I'll go in for it. I climb up the wall, scale it like a champ, ring the bell, and then I'm like, okay, Rebecca, get me down. And she says, what do you do? And I'm not going down anywhere. And what you have to do, you push this thing, and then if it goes too fast, you just let go of it. It lets go, and then it catches you, so you don't fall. And she's like, it's not going through. It's not going through. And I say, just let go of it. And she, boom, I just fall down. It wasn't that high, 15 feet maybe, land flat on my back, you know, winded, coughing, spluttering.
Wait a minute, you landed from...
up there.
All the way down on your back.
Yeah, but you land on like these big cushions, you know, it's like a cushioned floor. So it's not hard, but still, it's kind of fucking sore. Thank God for the CBDMD.
Did she think she killed you in that moment?
No, she didn't think she killed me, but she thought it was hilarious. She thought it was hilarious. And so did Lucas. And so did the other family. And so did the other like instructor that was knocking around. I'm like, you fucking little assholes. I'll see you on the way out. But yeah. Well done, Rebecca.
Maybe she was trying to kill you. Because is she the sole beneficiary of your will, or do you have it all written out to your kids? You have all your you have to have your affairs in order, right? You have that all taken care of.
I have my affairs in order, baby boy. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about
getting?
That.
Am I getting one of the watches? Just tell me if you die, I'm getting a watch.
You're getting this. You're getting my custom Michael Bisping black taxi. No, of course, yeah, she's the sole beneficiary. Yeah, we all know what's going on. Rebecca, Kurt, come here and explain yourself, please. But don't worry about this, guys. We are moving on soon. We got lots and lots of things to talk about. We had some stunning knockouts. We had some great fights. And we had the NBA finals last night as well, Lewis. I don't know if you care about that.
I don't.
I'm not going to pretend like I care, but I kind of did watch it. Rebecca, come over here and explain yourself, please. Sit down. Squeeze in.
This is a very good explanation. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Mrs. Bisping. How are you? Now, so we're having a debate right now. We're trying to figure out whether or not this was actually an accident or if you were trying to kill Michael in order to receive all of the millions and millions and millions of dollars.
So much money. It's insane.
Because let me tell you something. It's a half mansion when you're there. It becomes a full mansion if there's another adult that's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So go on. Give me your side of events.
Okay, so Michael's up the wall. No, but before you went up, I said, okay, Michael, I need some very specific instructions on how to do this. How do I get you down? And he said, all you do is push this lever and feed it down, right? That's what you told me.
That's what you do. You push hold the lever down and you feed it through.
I have a question just for the story. Is this after Michael shamed his son for not being able to get up the wall or before?
This is after.
Wow. Yes. So you couldn't even pretend to not climb the wall for Lucas's own ego and benefit. That's what I would have been like, oh, look, it's really hard. We can't do it. But you just said, fuck it. Straight up. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, of course. Listen, I want to show you how a real man does it. Lucas, feel the pressure. Okay. Look at the other kid. He's Michael, 3 years younger than you.
He wasn't even crying. He was just a little bit kind of scared.
He was a little scared and he was being a little bitch at that moment in time. Okay.
Yeah, then you don't shout at him. That makes him even worse.
Did I shout at him?
You went, oi.
No. I only did that. I only did that when he disrespected me. He was
disrespected.
Oh, he disrespected the name.
Terrified.
By crying 3 feet.
Yes. I'm like, Lucas, get your shit together. Get up the wall and get down the wall in a timely manner. Otherwise, listen, I'm just saying we're going to have some issues. Anyway, Rebecca tried to kill me.
Well, I did ask for some very specific instructions, which you gave me some instructions. I know, but I'm looking at you, right?
Okay. Ooh, feisty.
And then, so he says he wants to come down. So I do the lever and then I start feeding it through. But I'm holding his like body weight in that rope though. And I'm like, this isn't right. I shouldn't be having to.
This isn't champion of the world, Michael Bisping. This is retired Michael Bisping.
Well, exactly. He's pretty heavy right now. Sorry, babe. Anyway, so I've pushed the lever and I'm holding it with this hand and I'm like, wait, this isn't right. I'm holding all his body weight here in this hand and it was like hurting. So I thought maybe if I just,
Look at the rope burn.
I have wounds.
Rope burn.
Yeah. It was so funny because a scar on a man is so hot, but on a woman, you're like, put it away, Rebecca.
Yeah, no, she looks like she's like...
I'm showing it off because it looks like...
A drug addict. Like
Happy Halloween, Frankenstein.
Finish the story. Sorry. What did you do?
So then I was like, hang on a minute. I think I should just let go. And I think the apparatus will kind of like take over. And
just let go. Hey, someone's high up a wall and they're trying to get down. You're in control of the safety rope. I don't know what to do. This isn't going to plan. I know. Here's what I'll do. I'll just let go. Tell me, Lewis, what part of that makes sense, logical sense to you?
It's funny because she was really, she's not even saying that she thought the apparatus would. She said she thought that the way you would just worded it, you just weren't even sure that the apparatus was going to catch him.
I knew the way I was doing it was wrong because it was hurting. It was really hurting. And I'm like, I'm doing it wrong. Than you. But at no point did he say you have to push the lever just for a little bit, let some through and then put it back on. Take it off, put it back on. Take it off, put it back. That's not what you said. And anyway, so he plummeted down towards me.
When you're saying it though, Rebecca, I got to be honest with you. And you know, listen to me, I will always take your side. 10 out of 10 times, just to bother Michael, I'll take your side.
No,
that's
no,
truth.
I know. Okay? You're like Harrington with her, the way Harrington is with you. He just agrees with everything. With her. It makes me look bad.
We all simp for Rebecca Bisping. That's a fact, okay? And we will continue to. She's right in every situation.
I will say,
as you're describing it, it seems pretty logical that you would let a little bit of rope go, catch, let a little bit go, catch.
Not what he said, though.
What did I say? Say the two words I said.
You said you push that lever and feed it through. That's literally what you said.
Yes, you push the lever and you feed it through. That sounds like perfect advice.
You never said to then put the lever back on.
To any rock climbing enthusiast out there.
Do I look like a rock climbing enthusiast, Michael?
No, you look like a potential murderer.
Easy.
Okay?
Well, anything with ropes and carabines and pulleys and stuff is just not my thing. Anyway, you told me wrong. You came plummeting towards me, and I would like to say something, and you're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
As you were plummeting towards me, you did shout, and your shout was quite feminine.
What did I shout?
It was quite like a girl. I'm just saying.
Okay. Listen, Rebecca, listen. Piss off. Get out of here. Go about your business. Go cook me a meal or a sandwich.
Oh,
or, you know, perhaps clean up some more dog shit or some dog jizz off the floor. Let's go.
She's an angel. She's an angel amongst women.
Love you, babe. So anyway, there you go. There's that. And my neck and back is sore. Almost died. She just let me go, Lewis.
That's fucking hilarious. So
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. Anyway, have you hurt yourself in any stupid ways?
No, I mean, all right. So, all right. I remember one time, there was like a, where I grew up, it was, they used to call it, I guess, the deep hole. And what it was like a fresh water, like spring water. And it was like a really deep thing where you can go sort of cliff diving, but it was icy cold, like upstate New York, like icy cold, even in August, like it was freezing. But a bunch of teenagers would go and you would sort of jump off these rocks, and you know, that was that. So I'm a pussy, I'm afraid of heights. So I was jumping off the absolute lowest cliff you could jump off of. And I'm talking about, it's 7 feet, 8 feet, like it's nothing. And then you got to climb up a little bit further to get up to like higher ones. So we were there with our friends for a little while. And right when we were about to leave, these girls showed up, and we're like, all right, well, let's just leave.
Whatever. Well, yeah, because as soon as girls show up, it all changes. Now you start taking risks.
Yeah.
You do things you would never normally dare do.
Exactly.
Like, you will fight people. You will jump off cliffs. You will, I don't know, mess around with fire, try and juggle knives, fight somebody that's three times your size that you know can kick your ass.
Yeah. And well, this is exactly what happened. So we were smart enough though, because we were nerds and we were like, all right, we're not going to fucking, we don't want to look like idiots and be jumping off this little pussy cliff. And we were just about ready to go anyway. So we're like, let's just go. So I swear to God, this is so true. We're so whack. We were leaving. These girls were like, oh, you're not going to jump off the higher one? And I should you not, Bisping? I lied. And I was like, oh yeah, we've been jumping it off the whole time. I completely lied, 100%. My friends were like, oh, dude, we suck. We got to go. And they were like, oh, really? Come on, you won't do it? And then I was like, all right, I'll do it. Like a fucking goofball. And I went to go climb. I'm climbing up the rocks and I just have no footing. So as I'm climbing up the rocks, I slip and I start to tumble down the rocks and I'm just scratching and screaming.
Oh, that sounds so bad. That's like my worst nightmare.
Falling down rocks. Yeah, dude, it's exactly as bad as you
naked
think it is.
Naked with a pair of shorts on.
Pair of shorts on, getting bruised everywhere, scraped up on the rocks, like four or five fingernails tore off my hands because I'm clawing and screaming like a woman. And these girls just laughed at me. Not a second of concern. Not like, oh my God, are you okay? They literally hysterically laughed. And then their hot boyfriend showed up 3 minutes later.
Oh God! So just to, you know, add, what is it? Insult to injury. The girls, the boyfriend show up. Yeah, it's funny. Whenever girls show up, you start taking stupid risks. And yeah, that does scare me. I remember on my honeymoon, we were in Maui doing cliff diving with Kendall Grove. And we had to climb up this fucking cliff, and you're pretty much naked. You know, she's in a bikini, I'm in a tiny pair of shorts. You know, and there's jagged edges and cliffs, and like, you know, spikes sticking out. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing up here? Because if you fall, it's certain death. Simple as that. I don't know why we as humans do these weird things. But yeah, so there you go.
Swimming, like, because I've been to Hawaii too. Hawaii is beautiful, a little bit overrated, but
it's amazing.
It's nice, but you know, Jamaica all day, every day. But either way,
right about now,
whenever I'm swimming in the water, if, at one point on every vacation I'm ever on, I lightly brush up against a rock underneath the water or some sort of like, you know, thing. And you end up getting a nasty fucking cut. Like a really, really nasty cut. And you get the seawater in it. You don't really clean it properly. So it sort of gets, it walks around sort of sore and infected. The ocean is a really scary, scary thing.
Oh, water in general and nature and rocks and any of that stuff. It's absolutely terrifying.
Have you ever almost drowned?
Oh yeah, multiple occasions. I remember once I was a kid, there's this Eddisford River and there's a part called the Little Elephant where it's very deep and people, you know, that's like the best part of the river. And I don't know what happened. There was like some kind of a current, two currents met, which forces the currents down. It must've been something like that. And cause all of a sudden I'm being pushed down and I could see my brother, Stephen. And I think Comrade was there as well. My two brothers, they're at the side, they're on the bank. And I'm like, I was trying to fucking save my own life. I'm fighting with everything I had, and I can see Stephen and Comrade on the side laughing their heads off.
It's the point of Rebecca Bisping.
Yeah, they're just laughing at me because I think they think that I'm joking or whatever. And then in the end, my brother dived in and saved me once he realized, hold on a minute, I think he's actually in trouble. But yeah, no, very, very scary.
That's a really scary feeling. Almost drowning.
No, it's the worst. You know where we were as well, that same river up a bit, there used to be this area where there's all the waterfalls and stuff. It's called the Coal. It's beautiful. And by the way, this breaks my heart that my kids, and probably yours, aren't out and about doing stuff like that. When I was a kid, I was off out down the river in the forest. What's that?
Were they not off almost drowning?
Well, exactly. I mean, I wasn't drowning. No, but I was jumping off this waterfall, and at the bottom of the waterfall, there was a little area, probably about this big, right, where it was deep enough that if you jumped off the waterfall and you landed in that little section, you wouldn't get hurt because it was deep enough.
Yeah.
But if you missed it, you were fucked.
You're dead.
The waterfall's about 15 foot. It's like, why as children would you take that risk? It's just not worth it. You think you're invincible.
Yeah, you do. That was a similar thing, that deep hole place that I was talking about, that I fell down.
Yeah.
So the rumor was that you have to jump in this one area because if you jumped in any other area, there were massive, sharp boulders that were pointing upward. There was a bridge we used to jump off. It was the same thing. It was like, if you jumped off of it during low tide, you would break your legs. If you jumped during high tide, it was a fun swim.
Just jump off. Hey, okay, side note, potential that you might break your legs, but you'll probably be okay. Dumb 14-year-old with a bit of pussy hanging around, like, okay, I'll do it, no problem. Whereas any sane adult would say, really? Well, then that's just not worth the risk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, we're there for our kids. Like, our parents just weren't, and it's not, they weren't bad. It was a different time. Like, it wouldn't be crazy, like my son's 7 now, for when I was 7 to just, I'd be gone from when I go outside during the day. I would come home when the streetlights were on. There was no checking on me. If I got kidnapped, they wouldn't know until that night. And they wouldn't even call the cops until probably 9 or 10. They'd be like, all right, we give him a few more hours. But it's wild. Like my son is never out of an adult's sight ever for more than a minute. I mean, if he rides away on his bike for like a couple minutes, I guess it's a little different because you live in a very private community. Like, it's like a cul-de-sac and there's a few houses there.
It's a boring as fuck community with no soul, no life, no character, no charm. Yes, continue.
Yeah, but it's almost like you can, I think it's a little different for you. I think, you know, Lucas can disappear probably for a couple hours to the neighbor's house and it's not a big deal. But when we were kids, that was sort of par for the course. I wouldn't let my son do any of this shit that I was doing when I was a kid. Just literally, even stupid shit. Like, we'd go into the woods. There was like a wooded area behind my house, right? Like just a couple miles that was like, you know, just trees and shit, right? And we would find pieces of scrap wood. We would build a ladder. No, just wood. We would build we built treehouses, but the way we built treehouses is we would just take a piece of wood, we'd nail it, another piece of wood, nail it. So that we'd go up the tree, like by making a ladder. And then we would just take slabs of wood without any structure in mind. And we would just fit it into the tree and all hammer it together. And we would sit up there and just fucking, I don't know, just wait for a certain death. Like wait for this thing to fall apart.
That's what you do. And then as a child, that's a perfect plan. It's a death trap. It's an absolute fucking death trap. But still, that's just what you do as a kid. And yeah, these kids these days, and we sound so old, definitely sound really like boomers when we say that. But yeah, there you go. There you go. Anyway, all right, let's take a second to talk about our brand new sponsor, IP Vanish. IP Vanish is an incredibly important tool that will help you protect your privacy online. I don't know how you spend your time online, okay? And I don't want to know. But what you do when you're online, well, that's not my business. But guess what? It's nobody else's business either. If you don't want the cyber criminals, that's, you know, computer criminals for anyone over 45. If you don't want the cyber criminals to steal your data or marketeers to track what you are buying, then you need IP Vanish. IP Vanish is a VPN or virtual private network that creates a private connection from your computer, phone, tablet, whatever your device is, to the internet so that it protects your identity and it encrypts your data.
The thing that I love this for, if you're ever in an area where you can't get certain things, certain like porn is one of them, obviously. Maybe there's pay-per-views or there's certain things that are on the internet that you can only, that aren't available in certain parts of the world. Well, guess what? This happened.
Prostitution services.
So if you're looking for a hooker, if you're looking for a child bride, look, there's a lot of different things you could be doing, okay?
Drug dealers.
You could probably use it for that as well. Any dark web dealings that you might want to do, IP Vanish can really help you. But we are being serious about this. There are cyber criminals out there. I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, Miss Bing, if you've watched that documentary yet. But the reality is there are people that are using all of your data. You want to protect yourself. With IP Vanish, your real IP address disappears. It can't be tracked online. You get fast, unrestricted internet. It has more than 1,500 servers in 70 countries. So with IP Vanish, you're never going to get stuck with a slow site or a video that doesn't load.
Yeah, and listen, let's be honest. The important things that we're talking about people hacking your email, hacking your social media, taking your passwords, hacking into your bank accounts. You know what I mean? So this is what, we're joking about all the other stuff, but the important stuff, hacking into your social media, your email, contacting your bank and things like that, and just doing transactions that weren't you. So it is very, very important. And of course, there is some extracurricular benefits as well. But if you want to give this a try, and listen, bottom line is VPN is something that everybody should be using on their computer. So please do check out IP Vanish to start protecting your data and your privacy online. Plans start at just $3.25 per month. $3, nothing per month by going to ipvanish.com/believe. That's ipvanish.com/believe. And they're going to give you 75% off their regular price just by going to ipvanish.com/believe. You need that forward slash. What does that do? It slashes off 75%. So IP Vanish /believe to slash off up to 75%. You're welcome. Where were we? Lewis, last night, by the way, was, for me, a huge sporting event because we all know how much of a sports fan I am. You know, baseball, NFL, things like that. I'm a fucking huge soccer, football, things like that. NBA finals on last night.
Question, just side note, because as you're mentioning all these sports, what sport would you say you are the most knowledgeable about that's non-MMA and British or European football?
Okay, and I'll give you another one, but it would be boxing, okay?
You know what the fuck I meant. Kickboxing, Muay Thai. Come on.
You said a sport that isn't MMA, okay? So the literal answer is boxing.
You know what I meant. You meant the big American sports.
All right, okay. Sports that only one country watches. Probably
not necessarily,
football,
not trivia, but
soccer. But American sports, I don't really watch it. I kind of want to watch it. I want to get involved in American culture.
Like, do you know all of the rules in basketball and baseball and football?
Not baseball. Don't give a fuck about baseball. Don't want to know. Couldn't care less. Literally could not care less about baseball. Don't baseball. Like it. I do appreciate it, but I just, it's a very boring sport. Apologies to all baseball fans. do like football, do like the NFL, and I do like basketball. Basketball's the best. If you go and watch a live basketball game, it's fucking incredible. Number one, when you see the size of those guys and fucking jumping through the air, it blows your mind.
It's a pretty, basketball is one of the most impressive like athletic sports to go watch. Like you just watch these guys and it's pretty incredible. I appreciate football as well. Almost from like, if you really understand like what they're trying to do, like the coaches have we're putting these giant beasts on the field and they got to get that ball over that line and they got to like come up with a game plan on how to do that. It's a pretty cool, like, it's almost like, you know, human chess, you know, they have to really move those pieces down the field. Baseball is boring as shit.
MMA owns the term human chess, Lewis. Okay. When it comes to American sports, I don't really follow them. I don't know much about them, if I'm honest, but I do enjoy basketball. I really fucking do. And I'll tell you what I do like, Lewis. I like the fact they have a shot clock, don't they? So every time the side gets the ball, they got 24 seconds to make a shot. You know what I mean? So you got point after point after point. And your fucking head's like this. It's just fucking diving through the air. It's incredible. I know I'm boring people, but I just learned about that shot clock. You know, and I was like, that's amazing. As a Brit, I didn't realize you got 24 seconds. The pressure's on. Shoot the fucking shot, motherfucker. I said, no, Americans, they got 24 seconds. Then that's it. Then they start to look at the phone. Then they look away. I love it. The attention to detail or the attention you have to give the game, because you look away, you look around. The other team's done 10 fucking points. It's nonstop action. I love it.
Well, or on the other side of things where it's like hockey, where it's like maybe 2 points, 3 points, an entire fucking game. Same thing with soccer as well.
Yeah.
Baseball, very, very slow moving. That's why I think you probably like basketball as well, because you're coming at it from the most exciting sport in the world, MMA, right? You look at it, so you need a fast paced sport that's going to keep it moving. Football sort of moves kind of quick too, once you understand what's happening. But by the way, I didn't know how any sports worked at all growing up. Like I didn't have a dad. So nobody taught me about any sports or anything. So it was just slowly over time. To this day, I still don't know how football really works.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. I took Callum. He got on the flag football team at school when we first moved here. And he's like, I have no idea. And Callum's looking to me for advice and I'm trying to help him out. And of course, I can't give him any fucking knowledge. So we show up on the first day, two fucking English dudes. Callum's accent was still strong. It was a little bit embarrassing. But yeah, there you go. NBA, I love it. Lakers, shout out to them last night. Did you watch it, Lewis? Are you?
No. I barely can find time to watch mixed martial arts and I love this sport. So to find the time to watch a sport that I don't give a fuck about. No, not at all. You know, who played?
I did find myself, I swear to God, because obviously I live near LA, Orange County. So I do root for the Lakers, right? Just because it makes it more fun. And I did find myself at one point when they scored, not yesterday's game, because yesterday's game was just domination. They won it by like 30 points or something. But on Friday, they had a game and it was super close. It was fucking so exciting, edgy seat stuff. And I remember when the LA Lakers scored a goal, fucking basket, whatever you call it. I don't know the terms, but I did do this, Lewis. I went, and I shot my hand into the air. I think that's the first time I have ever done that to a sport other than MMA, because growing up in England, watching football, as you said before, sometimes 90 minutes and the score is 0-0. The most soul-destroying 90 minutes of your life.
Yeah, I can't do it. Not at all. Have you ever gone to a baseball game?
I have, yes. I have multiple times.
All live sports are fun to go to. So people say that a lot too. They're like, you go to a baseball game. It's fucking great, man. It's like, yeah, because it's hot dogs and beer with your friends. Like there's hot chicks around. You're hanging out all day. I mean, anything can be in front of me and I'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, 2017, I got a lot of abuse for this. 2017, it was the, baseball World Series, like the final.
You could just say the World Series.
I don't know what you say. It was the
baseball World Series.
It was like the end. It was like the two game teams. Game seven. Boom. Maybe game seven. I don't know. One of the important ones anyway. And I had tickets because I was promoting the George St. Pierre fight, right? And there was a lot of people watching. I don't know. They said there was going to be like 50 million people watching. And they had me there with one of my cornermen. And then it comes to me, Michael Bisping. And I'm like, you know, I give him the cheesy fist to the camera and whatever. And then they promote the fight for a second and they talk about it. As soon, and by the way, because we were going to show us on TV, we had like crazy front row tickets, all like amazing seats that would have cost a lot of money. But as soon as we did that obligation bit, that's it. I left. I got up up. And people online and some of my buddies that know sports are like, what the fuck? You had those tickets that are probably worth like $20,000. And as soon as you did your thing, you walked off. I'm like, yeah, I was starving. I wanted some real food. I can't eat hot dogs. I can't drink beers. I got to make weight in 2 fucking weeks. Fuck this. I'm off to find a low carb restaurant. And as I say, got a lot of abuse for that one.
Yeah, Harrington just sent me, or he sent the entire group a message. He said, arguably the greatest baseball game ever played, too.
Oh, really? Oh, well. Hey,
What game was it, Harrington? Do you remember, Mike, what game it was?
Hold on. Was it the Rockets, the Houston Rockets and the LA Dodgers? Harrington?
Game 7 of the 2017 World Series, he said, was the one.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, there you go. I'll tell you what is the sport, though, that is always action-packed, Lewis, and we know the answer. Everybody knows. Mixed martial arts. See that? I've got the trophy for Segway of the Year, but come on, I'm still trying to make it better, Lewis.
Yeah, honestly, it can't get any better. That was very, very professional, Michael, and I'm jealous and impressed at the same time. Mixed martial arts, yes, this weekend we did have some pretty fun fights. Yeah, I think that, Corey Sandhagen, Marlon Moraes. I think Corey Sandhagen surprised a lot of people. Harrington, if I would have listened to Harrington, I would have lost everything on Marlon Moraes because Harrington was going on and on about how Moraes was going to take this fight. I enjoyed the main event. It was great. I was surprised. I'm not super familiar with Corey Sandhagen's body of work like that. So same. I was expecting Moraes to kind of come in and outwork him. And Sandhagen just looked awesome, dude. Very, very diverse striking. Very, very exciting.
Well, before we get to that, though, let's just talk about earlier on the card, because earlier on the card, there was something that happened, a knockout that happened that has taken the entire world by storm, and it was insane. And I'm talking about, and I do apologize because I wasn't familiar with one of the guys, Joaquin Buckley knocked out Impa Kasangane. Impa Kasangane came off the Dana White Contender Series recently, got a big win, got a fast turnaround, good fighter, exciting style, went up against this guy, Joaquin Buckley. Again, I'm not familiar with this guy's body of work, but fuck me, I will be tuning in next time because
we have the highlights.
You must have seen it, Lewis.
Of course.
I think the talk that's going around right now is it the best knockout in UFC history? First of all, let's take a look at it.
We're even on total strikes at the moment.
Oh! Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, I mean, Bisping, break it down a little bit, obviously, because you can break it down from a fighter's perspective. Better than anybody else can, but really, really unique. I've never seen anything quite like that. It is up there with the Anthony Pettis super kick off the cage, which was not a knockout. That kick did win him that fight, if you guys remember. It was versus Benson Henderson, the last WEC fight ever. But it had that type of impressive athleticism. Break it down a little bit here because it was really, really cool and very. I can't even describe what it is.
Yeah, well, no, listen, I mean, so Impa throws a kick. Oh, no, or was it? Joaquin Buckley throws a kick. I think it was the left kick, left, right, doesn't really matter. And Impa Kasangane caught it, which is, you know, a classic thing. You catch the kick, and then from there, you've got options. You can punch him in the face with the other one. You can drive them forward. You can sweep the leg. You can punch them in the face. You know, the options are endless. You can let go of the kick and just back off if you want. But if you really want to be a dickhead, you can drill him in the face. It's a classic.
Or you could hold on to it, and your opponent can do a ninja fucking move and kick your chin off your face.
Exactly. And that's why you're going to feel bad for Impa Kasangane, because Teddy Atlas, as we know, a great boxing expert, amongst other things, he was talking about it and saying how Impa Kasangane made a mistake because he didn't expect the next blow to come. Well, to be fair, you don't really expect that. And I'm going to get some shit for this, but I used to do something very similar. And I did. I used to do it all the time in training. In training, mind you, never actually pulled it off in a fight in the octagon. But what I would used to do, I used to throw a kick and they would catch it, and it was nowhere near as impressive. I would turn away and put my hands on the floor. I put my hands on the floor and then use the other leg to kick them in the chest or the face, and he'd make that separation.
The same sort of heel kick like that?
The
like
same donkey? Kind of move. They'd catch the leg, so I'd turn away, but I'd put my hands on the floor. He obviously didn't put his hands on the floor. I'd put my hands on the floor, and then I'd use the other leg and kick it, and it would get the separation, and I'd get back to my feet. And I always thought that was pretty fucking cool, and I was dying to do it in a fight. Oh, you've caught my leg, have you, motherfucker? Well, check this out. Well, yeah, as we saw there, Joaquin Buckley fucking made me look very unathletic because his version was fucking outstanding. I mean, that is straight out of a video game, straight out of a movie. I mean, the athleticism required. Not only that, Lewis, hold on. The confidence to throw that and do that in a high-pressure situation like fighting in the UFC on TV for money. And he had the whereabouts and the skill and the courage to throw that and to fucking land it flat to the face and get a knockout like that. I mean, just absolutely incredible.
I mean, with something like that, do you have to be drilling that regularly in order to have the confidence to throw it? Because it's almost seems like a technique that you would be like, well, we're not going to waste our time on this. It's never going to fucking land in a real life situation. But in order for it to land in a real life situation, you'd have to go and drill it and learn it over and over again. So it's pretty wild. I mean, do you think he's practicing that regularly?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, I don't think that's the first time Joaquin Buckley's ever done that, okay? And if it is, then Jesus Christ, man. You know, my God. Imagine what he could do if this guy just trained. But no, seriously, just absolutely unbelievable. And yeah, you know, he would have trained that, I would have thought. Problem is, things like that are hard to train. You know what I'm saying? I guess if his padman held up a pad and said, right, I'm going to catch it, and now you do it. You know, because like things like the kicks like that and spinning wheel kicks and elbows and knees, they can be hard to train in practice because obviously knees, elbows, they cut a lot. Wheel kicks. If someone wheel kicks me when I was sparring for a big fight and they catch me in the face, you know, I was like, dude, what are you doing? You know, we're sparring here. We're not trying to kill each other. So there is some moves where it is a little more difficult to practice.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even describe what his body did there. And you couldn't even throw that lightly if you tried. Like, gravity would not enable him to throw that move lightly. So super, super impressive. Is it the best knockout that we've seen in the UFC?
Well, this is it. And Harrington O'Brien, if you just go to my Twitter, I think it was a tweet I sent out two hours ago. I put a poll on. Now, unfortunately, Twitter only allows you to put four when you do a poll. And I put discussing the best KO in UFC history, which would be your vote. We'll discuss it later on the BYM show. And I put in Joaquin Buckley this Saturday, Hendo versus me at UFC 100, Anderson versus Vitor Belfort, even though fucking Twitter, the autocorrect turned it to Victor, other than Vitor, and a lot of people saying, who the fuck's Victor? Fuck off, autocorrect. And then Edson Barboza versus Terry Etim, of course. And these are the results. They got Joaquin Buckley this Saturday, 48%. Me getting knocked out, 19%. Anderson versus Vitor at 12%. And then Barboza coming in at 19%. So yeah, I mean, there it is. But to be fair, that's only out of them four. There is some other ones, some amazing knockouts. A lot of people saying the Korean zombie when he got knocked out off Yair Rodriguez, that uppercut. You got any other contenders, Lewis?
Yeah, the Francis Ngannou versus...
Overeem.
Overeem. I mean, wow, dude. I mean, that was just in terms of like... It was almost partially the photography on it, right? Because they caught that angle. It was such a beautiful shot. It was like... It was everything. It was like a piece of moving art in that moment. But I don't know that I can say that anything was quite like what we watched this past Saturday.
Well, of course, I got a lot of shit on Twitter for this as well, because listen, there's knockouts every weekend. I can't remember them all. And as I say, Twitter only allows four, and I was working out and I'm lifting weights and I'm doing my fucking beast.
And you included when you got the most embarrassing knockout of your fucking career, which is pretty fucking, pretty ballsy and self-aware, Mr. Biscuit.
No. Had to do that though. That's damage control, because you know, if I put a tweet out on there, right? You know
it's
what?
All gifts.
It's all fucking me getting knocked out. So I'm like, fuck you, motherfuckers. Before you come at me with, here's the best knockout, is me unconscious looking like a fucking emaciated fucking...
You pulled the M&M in 8 Mile. You killed yourself before they had the opportunity. Yeah, it's like very, very smart. I thought that you had a little bit of humility. I thought that you were like, you know what?
No. Purely driven by ego, Lewis. Purely by ego. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get your attacks. Fuck off. Already beat you to it. But obviously, I could only put four. But here's
one. It's hysterical that you just did it preemptively.
They're fucking right. I know. Listen, anytime anyone wants to talk shit, I see that gif. I see it all the time. I'm very desensitized. But still, as I was saying, so many knockouts, impossible to remember them all. But here's one that definitely should have been on the list. And I think, I don't know, this is a conversation, which is better. And there is many. But how could I forget Jorge Masvidal? Jorge Masvidal versus Ben Askren. 5 seconds, fastest in the world.
No. We've seen 200 flying knees in the UFC. We have never seen you to even be in the conversation. It has to be something we've never seen. Right. And, you know, even when I'm saying Ngannou, even, you know, any of the other ones we're talking about, these are just normal. They're beautiful knockouts. They're brutal knockouts. They're like, oh my God, fuck. But they're just not like, holy shit. Like, wow. Like, I'll tell you one that stands out is Matt Hughes versus
Frank Trigg.
No, I was thinking of a different one, but that's also great. That was an incredible fight. No,
George St. Pierre.
Carlos Newton.
Carlos Newton, okay.
Where he slammed him and he knocked himself out during the slam.
Double KO.
Yeah, I mean, that's like some shit. You're like, whoa, like that's wild shit. What was the other slam we saw? Fucking
Frank
what's
Shamrock, back in the day, he knocked out someone. Ilyuev, I don't know, some Russian sounding dude. He body slammed him. And there was a good one back in the day, Tito Ortiz versus somebody. Tito picks him up, slams him, and then boom, gives him a little elbow as well. That one was pretty fucking badass, yeah. If I do say so. And, you know, Vitor Belfort versus Marvin Eastman back in the day. I don't know if you remember that one. He hit him with the flying knee, then opened up like a giant fucking axe wound on his skull.
Yeah. That was one of the craziest gashes in UFC history. Anderson Silva versus Vitor. Front kick knockout.
Yeah,
you don't see it, right? How often do you see something like that? But once again, I just don't see and Harrington, please chime in here, because I know you're sitting there chomping at the bit with some other, but stylistically speaking, where you're like, I've never seen that angle. We don't have the tape on that. It's like when Nick Diaz tapped out Gomi with a Google Plata, you hadn't seen it in high level MMA competition, so you have to give it another, it's in another category.
Yes, true, but still, Anderson was hanging around with Steven Seagal. Okay, Sensei Seagal. And so was Lyoto Machida, right? And you got to think that Anderson might be a little bit pissed off at Lyoto because he does this stunning knockout, knocks out Vitor Belfort, steals the techniques from Mr. Sensei Seagal, puts it to the test, uses it, knocks out Vitor. And then I think it was not long after that, fucking Machida says, yeah, well, fuck you. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to fly through the air. He looked like the Karate Kid. He does the same kick, but jumps in the air and knocks out Randy Couture's teeth. So,
but it's also a little less impressive to knock out Randy Couture than it is to knock out Vitor Belfort.
But he jumped in the air when he did it.
Yeah. Just saying. Yeah, these are all interesting. So Harrington just sent me. You could just speak, Harrington.
Yeah, Harrington, speak because I can't look at the notes. I can't look at the notes. Chime in here and there.
Chime in. What do you think? Stylistically speaking, in a category of itself, we've never seen anything like it. What do you think?
To me, the one that comes to mind first and foremost is Holly Holm with the kick heard around the world. You know, absolutely set her up for it the whole time. Got Rousey to drop her hands, rush in that big kick. Rousey goes down, and we have a cemented star for the next 5 years in Hollywood.
You're right. We've never seen a head kick before. You're right.
Yeah. No, that's right. It's incredible. Incredible insight there. No, good try. It did shock the world. It was shocking. It was an upset. Nobody expected it. But the head kick knockout wasn't the best in the world. Go again, Harrington. This is your second life, though. Redeemed You're running yourself. Out of life. You got one more life after this.
Brian has one too.
Harrington?
So the other one I was going to say, Vitor Belfort with the question mark kick to put out Luke Rockhold. That one for me was anytime I was feeling sad, I would just throw that on.
Don't believe it was a question mark kick, more of a spinning wheel kick, if I'm not mistaken there. So incorrect there. Brian at the back with your hands up, sir.
Maybe Harrington was saying that he didn't know what type of kick it was. Like he was like, question mark kick? That makes sense.
Yeah, all right, maybe. Harrington, Brian, what have you got back there?
Did you guys talk about Matt Hughes, Carlos Newton?
Yeah.
I love did. That our producer was listening intently.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good, buddy. You got his pain.
Say anything. He just commuted himself.
He's like, fuck this. I'm out of here. I'm going to get abused. I'm leaving. Anyway, I'll tell you what was a good knockout. that deserves to be spoken about that is not getting spoken about. And I guarantee it's pissing him off a little bit. At the weekend, the main event, we had Corey Sandhagen. And I'll be honest, I don't know too much about Corey Sandhagen. Obviously, I know the name. Obviously, I've seen him fight. But I'll be paying a lot more attention to his career after what he did on Saturday night. Saturday night, as we know, went out there and fucking spinning wheel kicked Marlon Moraes in the face, knocked him out. I think, was it the second round?
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah, start of the second round, I think. And that was an amazing knockout. You don't see flush spinning wheel kick knockouts in the main event against a highly touted contender like Marlon Moraes. But of course, he's getting zero shine at the moment because there was that absolutely spectacular knockout at the weekend. Had that not happened, that would have, he probably got a bonus anyway, but that would have been knockout of the night. And that would have been all the headlines this morning. Corey Sandhagen shocks the world with spinning wheel kick knockout. But no, Joaquin Buckley, right? He's the one, he's getting all the gifts. They're doing the finish him, Mortal Kombat. Have you seen any of these? There's all types of creative gifts. That's what I love about the MMA fans. But yeah, there's all kinds of gifts going around at the moment, but none about Corey Sandhagen.
I'm sure Corey Sandhagen's fine. I'm sure. I think he ended up getting a bonus as well, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, look, Sandhagen, he essentially put himself in line to possibly fight the winner of Aljamain Sterling versus Piotr Jan. He lost to Aljo as the last fight, right? I believe that was the fight that got Aljo the title shot. So yeah, the quality and the value of that win and getting a second place finish over Marlon Moraes, huge, really, really great. So I'm sure he's not losing any sleep over it. It also just wasn't as pretty of a knockout. When you look at it, it looked like it like glanced his head. It just didn't look as pretty. It almost looked like he hit him with his calf, which was weird. But like you almost can't compare this. It was like the technique was great and it looked great. And I thought the story of Corey Sandhagen was the fact that he was really just able to outstrike him throughout the entire fight. I was for sure that Moraes was going to come in and sort of be able to bully him. But yeah, I don't know if you wanted me to pull up the finishing sequence, but it looked like it just sort of glanced him on the top of the head.
And it's all because he's been setting things up.
No, that got him. If you see it there in slow motion, the heel connects with the back of the head. I hear what you're saying. Look.
Is that what happened?
Boom.
Oh, I see. You see? Because the front of the head, the calf essentially looked like it hit the front of the head. Okay.
Exactly. In slow-mo, you see just the heel. And the heel, obviously, one of the hardest parts of the body. If the heel hits you in the face, the head, whatever, you're going to have fucking problems. But you're right. I mean, Corey Sandhagen now is in talks for a title fight if Aljamain doesn't get it, if Henry Cejudo doesn't get it. Remember my hot take from last week. But you're right. I mean, Sandhagen, we got to talk about this guy. 13-2, just beat Marlon Moraes. I think he shocked a lot of people there. However, that said, he came into that as a favorite, which did shock me. Stunning performance. Prior to that, we saw he got choked out by Aljamain Sterling. So that definitely puts Aljo ahead. And prior to that, beat a Sun Tzu, beat John Lineker, beat Mario Bautista. And then, yeah, you know, it kind of goes downhill in terms of star power, if you will. But still, this guy, unbelievable. Congratulations to Corey Sandhagen. Can't wait to see his fight again. But, yeah, there you go. Never underestimate anybody, because I thought Marlon Moraes was going to be too fast, too sharp. Obviously, we've seen him be a devastating striker in the past. He's a good grappler. He just changed teams, kind of recently went down to American Top Team. I thought that might add some new wrinkles. Anytime you change camps, you find new coaches, you learn some new drills, things like that. You know, you often are a better, more improved fighter, but not on Saturday night. Once again, congrats to Corey Sandhagen. All right, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of mixed martial arts. And as you know, it is our job to report on some of it. So Harrington did a good job of putting some notes together for us. And one of the things that really jumped off the table to me, and Harrington, if you can just give us a bit of color on this, I'd appreciate it. But Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal on a bus with President Trump touring around Florida promoting, you know, Donald Trump for the election, I'm assuming. But Harrington, what can you give us? Because I just saw that and I thought, oh my God. Because Masvidal can't control himself and Colby Covington can't control himself. But if you put them on a fucking bus together, I'm telling you, shit's going to kick off. But Harrington, what have you got?
So actually, sorry, Mike, if that was not clearly worded in the notes there. But actually what I was saying was Jorge Masvidal has been selected, not Colby Covington, to join the Trump family on a bus tour of Masvidal's state of Florida.
Ah, got it. Slightly misleading there. Okay, no problem. I got excited. I just thought, could you imagine Masvidal and Colby on a fucking bus? They're like, don't kick off because the president's behind us in a flash armored car. But, you know, people are going to be people. Fighters are going to fight. You know what I mean? And Masvidal and Covington fucking hate each other. Okay, so that must piss off Colby Covington so much. You know what I mean, Lewis?
You think so? Maybe. I'll tell you probably why not. If Colby Covington's legitimately a Trump supporter, and you know, it seems to be as such, he did. I thought it was all an act until I saw Trump call him, and I saw how smitten he was with him. I was like, okay, this guy loves fucking Trump. Okay, and if you really support him, you really want him to be president, and you really love the UFC and you love this sport, you say it's only good for the UFC. It's only good for Trump to sort of marry the two. You know, the fact that the UFC and this sport is being regularly sort of put in the same conversation as Trump. Trump watches it regularly. He's been to the events regularly. It's not a bad thing. So I think from his perspective, he's going like, all right, fuck it. Well, you know what? If it's going to help Trump get the state of Florida and it gets more eyes on the UFC and gets more, you know, marries that relationship between Trump supporters and UFC supporters, you would want to, as a UFC fighter and a Trump supporter, you would be all for that. But maybe his hatred for Masvidal is so much so that it would fucking get to him. But, you know.
Very, very logical take. Made a lot of sense. Completely agree with everything you said. However, kind of took the fun out of the situation a little bit. Let's imagine them on a bus kicking off the fuck. That's more fun. No, you're right. I agree with everything you just said there. And if Colby is a true Trump supporter, which he is, come on. There's no way he's keeping up this act for so long. Then, of course, yeah, all right. No, I agree with that. You've just annihilated that conversation. But hey, facts. Harrington fucked me up. You fed me misinformation once again, Harrington, just to make Lewis look good. Well done.
Sure. He does that a lot. But it is sort of surprising to me that Masvidal would be a Trump supporter.
I don't want to get too much into politics, but because I don't know anything about it, but he comes from a communist country and he's trying to, because I saw him, he spoke at some event yesterday or over the weekend. He hit the stage. He was in his fucking gold three-stripe Adidas tracksuit, looked fucking badass. The fact he didn't go up and put on a shirt and tie or a suit or anything like that. He just went out on a tracksuit and spoke to the crowd. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, good for him. Listen, whoever he wants to support, that is his right. Okay, all right. Well, that's a non-discussion. Thanks, Harrington, for really, really fucking me up there. But no offense taken. It's okay. I accept your sincere apology. Tell us about this one, though, Harrington, because I didn't know anything about this until you said. And this is kind of interesting because, as we know, Sean O'Malley was unsuccessful against Chito Vera recently. You know, the kick, the peroneal nerve. O'Malley, you know, hasn't really accepted the loss, says it was a weird circumstance, whatever, you know, so there's a little bit of beef there. And I wondered, because if he wasn't hurt, which he wasn't, I mean, he was genuinely hurt in that moment, but it wasn't a long lasting injury. And I thought, with all the hype behind him, surely they should match him up again pretty soon. And you're saying that they have matched him up in a return fight against TJ Dillashaw. Is that correct? Because if so, that's pretty big news.
Well, it's nothing confirmed yet, but I did see it reported a couple of places. Middle Easy picked it up on Sunday on their Sunday rumor mill thing. Essentially, the idea is TJ Dillashaw wants to be fighting as soon as he's eligible in early January. They're not looking to book him in a title fight immediately upon his return. They want him to have a welcome back fight. And that idea is right now, the most likely opponent is Sean O'Malley.
Lewis?
Yeah, they're still pushing Sean O'Malley if they give him a TJ Miller or a TJ Dillashaw fight.
Are they?
Or you think that that's a...
I don't know. Listen, here's the thing, right? First of all, TJ Dillashaw is coming back being banned of steroids. And from what I'm hearing, he held his hands up in the air. He admitted it. I spoke to the UFC. I did a feature with them last week and we were talking about TJ Dillashaw. And he said, no. He was very forthright, held his hands up in the air. He apologized. He said, the pressure got to me, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I got to say, fair play. You got to respect the honesty there. Because often, time and time, you see people come out of a long laundry list of bullshit excuses, the pain, the sex pills, the this, the that, the supplements, all the bullshit. TJ just came out and said, you know what? I did it. Fuck it. Give me my suspension. I'll serve it. I'll disappear and I'll come back and be better. Gotta say, you know, can't handle it any better than that. Now he is coming back. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I apologize to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I agree with you. I feel like I have more respect for the guy that goes, fuck it. You got me. You know, I'll take my licks now. I'll take my suspension. Then the person who denies it. Either way, you don't really want a person that's fucking cheating. You don't really want people putting steroids in their body in the sport. But it shows you a certain sense of like growth and like, well, I believe that this guy is less likely to do it again versus the other guy who is just bullshitting and denying.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Because you do see these people just sticking to whatever wild, you know, excuse they have. And people do. He's like, ugh, but whatever. The public forget quickly. You know what I'm saying? In a year from now, if TJ's won the belt again or he's had three wins or whatever the situation is, people will have forgotten. Mixed martial arts moves on. We got news every weekend.
Well, it's kind of funny because, like, there's a weird thing, right? Like, let's say you take steroids and you get really good. You get the championship. You're considered the best in the world, right? You get popped. But you've built equity in yourself. So even somebody like TJ Dillashaw takes 2 years off, he's still in a much better position than the average mixed martial artist that's sort of coming up that hasn't cheated, hasn't. So even though he's fallen from grace a little bit, he's still in a position where he's fighting Sean O'Malley, probably one or two wins away from a title shot right there. And then, so in a weird, it reminds me of when like, when people will like go to like a life of crime, but then they let's say they take the hit. Like you hear drug dealers do this, like one guy will take the hit, but he like, they pay him off essentially to take the hit. And he goes, I'm going to go to jail for 3 years, but when I'm out, I'm a millionaire and my family's set. So it sort of reminds me of that mentality. Is like, is it worth it for TJ to sort of take that hit and go like, well, fuck it. Look where I'm at.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, if they did improve his skill set, not his skill set, but his ability to learn that skill set and his athletic power, his stamina, all the rest of it. Let's
and his
remember.
Name and his value as a mixed martial artist. I mean,
no, for sure. No, but he was taking EPO, which helps you with the cardio. You know what I mean? He was known for that and he would always fight at a very high pace. So if that helped him reach the acclaim that he has in his career, then yeah, you know, you could argue that it was worth it. But listen, either way, the punishment was served. Sentenced. He did serve it. I don't know what I'm fucking saying. But listen, either way, in January, he's eligible to come back. Now, if that is true, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting matchup because you could argue it a number of ways. The UFC could just say, listen, no, what are you talking about? It's just a good matchup. You could look at it and say, well, they're going to use O'Malley as a stepping stone for Dillashaw. You could say, well, they're bringing, obviously, O'Malley has a ton of hype. TJ comes in, beats Dillashaw, then he fights for the belt. Or it could be the other way around. No, fuck it. You know, let's see if O'Malley really is the real deal because he lost against Chito Vera. Okay, let's give him another fucking tough fight. And if he can pass that test, then okay, we're back in the Sean O'Malley business. But if he can't pass that test, then maybe we won't promote him as much. And this is what goes on with the mental state and the pressure of fighters. And because, you know, winning and losing changes the trajectory so much.
And I'm going to say... Well, no, yeah, as it relates to what you were sort of saying, I think you're right that it's sort of probably a little bit of everything, right? So the UFC, I'm assuming the mentality is let's matchmake to where no matter what happens, we still end up on top. The house still wins, right? So Sean O'Malley.
Well, yeah, of course.
Of course. So whether Sean O'Malley wins or TJ wins, there's the best case scenario there is still great. So it's like they're not really losing any value. But this is one of these matchups where it seems, in my opinion, really, really does make sense. And yeah, there's not really a losing situation for the UFC. It's a real big losing situation for either TJ Dillashaw or Sean O'Malley. But that type of pressure is only going to make for that much better of a fight. The more we're talking about that fight, the more excited I get about that fight. That is a crazy fight.
No, it's a fantastic fight. And, you know, if O'Malley accepts that fight, you got to admire his courage as well. You got to give him a shout out because being undefeated, getting knocked out in pretty fast fashion against Chito Vera, regardless of what the circumstances were, okay, it's still going to knock your confidence a little bit. However, O'Malley is in utter and complete denial, feels that, you know, he was kind of robbed under those circumstances. I don't know how he comes to that equation. He was kicked, he went down, he got elbowed. It was unfortunate the kick affected him as much as what happened. Reality of the situation, you still got fucking knocked out. I like Sean, I love Sean. Yeah. Got a team Sanibel, but that was the scenario. Now he's going to take on, if he does, in his comeback, after tasting defeat for the first time, You know, a guy, TJ Dillashaw, prior to the suspension, was going to be a champ, a two-weight division champion, a guy that was touted as one of the pound-for-pound best in the world. And now TJ is going to go, if O'Malley goes up against him, after tasting defeat for the first time, as I said before, you got to say shout out O'Malley, because that's how you deal with a fucking loss, you know? Not an easy fight to come back to. Definitely on paper, by far, the toughest matchup that he will have ever had. And he's going to take it on the back of a loss against Chito Vera. I don't know. It's ballsy. It's a roll of the dice. It's a big roll of the dice. Because as you said, Lewis, if he pulls it off, great. He's probably in a title fight real soon. If he loses, then that says to the UFC, okay, all right, he's not going to be the guy that we thought he was going to be.
Well,
or maybe he has a crazy war and loses a close decision. That would be different.
Here's the thing. So for Sean O'Malley, he obviously is going to take this fight. He would be stupid to not take this fight. There's almost no downside. Yes, he could lose to TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw, you said it, was on his way to being champ, was the next dude. He was the guy that people were talking about, like, holy shit, next level athlete. And then he lost to Henry Cejudo, and then he got popped. Obviously, his career went on a little bit of a downswing, but we just said that. He's really, dude, TJ is right there. TJ comes in, impressive win. He's right there in title contention once again. Sean O'Malley, if he loses to TJ, he's losing to a former title holder, former, double title challenger. He's losing to, you know, a massive, massive name in the sport, and somebody who, if he, without the time off and without being popped for steroids, he would be a massive underdog against. This is the time you want to fight somebody like TJ Dillashaw. The pressure is really on TJ Dillashaw to come in and to perform at a very, very high level. If O'Malley loses, it's just another speed bump, and it's a way easier speed bump for people to swallow than Chito Vera.
Yeah, you are right. You know, that is a fair assessment, to be honest. And yeah, you're right. There's going to be a massive amount of pressure on TJ Dillashaw. But TJ will live up to that pressure. He's very good. Listen, love him, hate him, like him, dislike him, whatever you feel about the guy, you can't deny the skills that the man has. He's a tremendous wrestler. He's got excellent jiu-jitsu. His striking is absolutely fantastic. Great footwork and a hell of an athlete. Will he still be the hell of an athlete that he was before? Though, that'll be the question. Remember, I was his coach on The Ultimate Fighter 2011. And I said right then and there, I said it to him. I said, you're going to be fucking champion of the world one day, because that's how good he is. You know, so yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. I can't wait for this one. Next weekend, of course, Lewis, as we know, it's the huge fight. Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Justin Gaethje. And from what I'm hearing, the rumbles that Harrington tells me and, you know, people online, they're saying that we might have fans in the building for it. And I'll tell you what, I can't fucking wait. And what a great event to have fans for. You know what I'm saying?
That would be awesome. I didn't know that was happening next weekend, which is kind of weird. Are they just going to release, they're going to sell them? Are they going to do a contest, give away a certain amount? I know SNL, they have fans in the building now. Tonight, we're doing Legion of Skanks live in the city. For the first time, we're having an audience indoors at limited capacity. So things seem to be opening up. How do I get a ticket? Because then I mean this, I will fucking fly. Where is it going to be at? Abu Dhabi.
It's a little bit of a trek. Okay. From you, you'd have to fly to London. From London, maybe a direct to Abu Dhabi. I'm not sure. Or maybe go round the houses like I have done many fucking times. But so Harrington, maybe you can shed some light on this in a second. But yeah, so obviously out there, Abu Dhabi, the government, they're controlling what happens. This is a huge fucking fact. Khabib is insanely popular in that part of the world, you know, and he's coming back again. He defended the belt there once or twice there already. So, you know, of course they're going to want fans. You know what I mean? And I think they will do fans. They'll probably test everybody first, because that's what they've been doing. They've been doing an insane thousands and thousands of COVID tests. So they'll probably come up with some kind of system. You're going to take a test 2 days or the day before the fight. If you pass the test, then you get given your ticket. Maybe show your wristband when you go to will call or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how they would get ahead of that. How do you ensure that everyone quarantines? See, but honestly, look, it's something for them to figure out.
You take a test the day before, right? And then on the day that you go, you say, oh, yeah, you passed. There's your wristband. That's what they do with the fighters and the cornermen and everything. And then when you go to get your ticket, you go, there's my wristbandy. And they go, oh, there's your ticket.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they're doing things. I mean, you can right now go to a restaurant in most cities in this country, and we had it way worse than most other countries in the rest of the world. So, yeah, I mean, there's a way to do it responsibly for sure. I want to see it with fans again. Obviously, that would be a really just another little injection of excitement for it. It's when you watch a television show and there's a laugh track, you're reminded when to laugh. I think that energy definitely helps.
I'm telling you, yes, we have been enjoying these fights with no crowd. You know, it's great. You hear the fighters talking to themselves. You can hear the cornermen and all that type of thing. And you're like, oh, it adds a different element. And you study the fight a little more and you appreciate the technique and the finer little subtleties. But I'm telling you, if they get a sold out fucking crowd in that arena and then Khabib comes fucking running in, the crowd's going wild and everyone's got on those stupid fucking hats that he wears, you're going to go, oh my God, UFC is so much better with the crowd. Because it is, because you can't beat that fucking energy, man. You get such a rush of it, especially if you're in the crowd.
What's the smallest amount of people you've ever fought in front of, not counting like your brother and sister at Christmas?
I was gonna say there's definitely been a few, you know, with no one around. Oh, bang. No, I'm kidding.
No one around.
There's no one around, bang, down you go. Oh shit, he slipped. Smallest fight, I mean, I used to fight at some leisure centers and, you know, some. Some of the old kickboxing fights, maybe 100, no, probably 500 people, something like, no, what am I saying? I've had tournaments, martial art tournaments when I was a kid, when there's like 50 people there. Nobody gives a fuck. You know what I mean?
Did that really compare when you say martial arts tournaments? What does that mean? Was it like full contact? You punch each other in the face and everything, or?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends. It all depends on what you're doing, on what the tournament is, you know what I'm saying? But kickboxing, you know, some smaller crowds. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the way it goes. When you're working your way up, you start in front of nobody. The next minute, you've got a bit of a crowd. Then you've got a few hundred people, you know, and the next minute.
I mean, somebody like a UFC champion, they have to feel the energy has to be a huge thing. And I'm assuming, look, there's probably blinders on, and I'm sure the fighters have adjusted to it. But there's got to be a major difference coming back out in front of a crowd now, just sort of that energy and that adrenaline and that excitement. You have to feel it. I mean, just if you perform in front of you do a comedy show in front of 500 people, it's a majorly different experience when there's 20 people there.
Yeah, well, no, I see a lot of comedians that are doing these online Zoom things, aren't they? And that just looks fucking awful. No offense to anyone that's doing it. Good for you. You're trying to keep working and all the rest of it. But I do not want to log on to a fucking and watch a comedian on a Zoom chat. I don't know. It's not what I want to do.
No, it's not really the way that stand-up comedy is supposed to be done. I mean, luckily we do these podcasts. Like, this is like a form of comedy and it's different. And to be honest with you, these shows and the podcasts that we do are funnier than most stand-up comedians. That's just the cold, hard truth of it all. But stand-up comedy is not, it's not designed to be performed on a computer like this to people that are sitting in a living room somewhere. I haven't done a single Zoom show or any of those. You need to feel the energy from the crowd. With comedy specifically, it is, you say something, their laughter is your signal on where to move. You know what I'm saying? You use that, you have to have a crowd there in order to understand where the beats of the jokes are going. It doesn't really matter. You don't get the type of feedback and the same reception.
I mean, not that I'm a comedian, but you feed off the crowd. You know what I mean? And they're giving you that kind of response, or they like this kind of shit. Like when I used to DJ, same thing. Do you know what I mean? I play some harder stuff, dance floor empties. So for fuck's sake, put some vocal shit on because the girls are in. You get the girls dancing and then the guys follow the little fucking perverts. They come back up to the fucking dance floor giving it this one. You know what I mean? So you got to play to the fucking women, maybe not in the comedy world. So nothing like one another whatsoever. Harrington, are you there? And if so, give us some information, because you told us about these fans coming back. Can you give us like an actual, you know, info breakdown? Yeah.
So the Department of Culture and Tourism are the guys who came out and talked about this. Just looked up the quote here. They said that the plan is to do it in to have fans in for UFC 254. They haven't announced anything yet because they need a foolproof plan. The idea is to keep the people they let into the stadium somehow separate from all the people who were in the bubble. So like maybe only letting in certain sections of fans and then keeping that super quarantined.
Very fucking simple. One side fans, one side officials, right? This side, people paying for a ticket. This side, people that are working for the event. You know, it's not hard. I think if that's what they're saying, we're going to have fans for UFC 254, and I can't wait.
I hope so. We must take a moment and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is CBDMD. They make incredible all-natural CBD products taken from hemp plants. Do not get you high. CBD helps get your body back in homeostasis. It helps your body heal itself. It helps your body perform at its optimum level. I use it for things like anxiety. I use it for inflammation. I'm nursing a knee injury right now, foot injury. Michael Bisping, during your multiple surgeries, you've been living off of CBDMD.
Well, I wouldn't say living off it because it's not ingestible. You can't eat it. And just throwing it out there, it's not edible. Just your big disclaimer there. But other than that, yes, I
have. Hold on, Mike. I apologize. It is edible.
Oh, shit. Well, it is edible. Okay. Leave that in. Well, hold on. It depends which product. You know, the gummies, of course, they are edible.
Yeah.
The drops, the oil, it's all edible.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend it as part of maybe your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. No. But what it will help is get your body back in homeostasis. It will help with anxiety, with insomnia, and with inflammation.
I rub the freeze cream right on my gums. Feels like
Try licking it. It tastes amazing. just like roll it all over your next sandwich. You'll love it.
Don't do that. We have to put a disclaimer. Do not roll freeze cream all over your sandwich.
No, but do roll it over your neck after your wife lets go of the fucking safety rope when you're indoor climbing. And then when you land on your back and then when you wake up the next day, you're like, what's going on? And then you remember, then you apply the freeze and then all of a sudden the movement, the motion, the range of motion comes back. Wow. And it's all down to CBDMD. I applied the Recover this morning on my leg and my neck. They're great, honestly. My wife, well, you'll see, we'll talk to her. She has a rope burn on her shoulder. She put the CBD on that and it got way better as well over one night. This stuff really works. As Lewis said, nothing to do with getting high. You know that. And what does CBDMD offer that other places don't? Well, it's the best quality and the best prices. That's what you want. There's tons of companies out there. Some of them are shit. Some of them are great. CBDMD are great. Lewis, tell them about the offer.
We have an incredible offer. First of all, no matter what, when you order from CBDMD, they give you a 30-day money-back guarantee, which is an incredible belief in their own product. But our listeners also are receiving free shipping on all U.S. orders, plus 20% off when you use the promo code BYM20 at CBDMD.com. One more time, that's BYM20. 20% off at CBDMD.com. Make sure you use that promo code BYM20. It lets them know that we sent you there, and it also saves you a bunch of cash as well. Go get some CBD. Support your life in a better way. CBDMD, they're the company for you. Okay, where were we? We got a few more minutes here. I want to say real quick, if you love the show, go subscribe on our iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. You can also do that on Google Play, Stitcher, or really anywhere else that you download podcasts. You can subscribe directly to our YouTube channel. The latest episodes are available on Monday and Thursday nights, typically at midnight, Monday and Thursday nights. You could just subscribe right there and then hit the notification button. You will get a notification every time there's a new episode that's dropping on the YouTube channel as well. And last but not least, if you guys want the entire on-demand library, every episode of the podcast that we've ever recorded, ad-free and uncensored, they're all available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. That is the network. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 14-day free trial. Save $1.50 a month if you decide to keep the premium service. Okay, so we got a little bit of time. If you want to get some questions in,
yeah, let's do some questions. As you know, bympod@gmail.com is the email address to send them in. Text questions, video questions, singing questions, whatever type of questions you
want. Fan art, music, content. The stupider the content, the more likely it will be played on air.
Brian, what do we have? I'm assuming, because you said last week we were inundated, so thank you everybody that sent one in. We appreciate it. But Brian, give us a couple of the best ones that we've got right now.
All right, I got three today. I got this first one from Parker Briggins.
What's up, champ? What's up, Lewis? Got a question for both of y'all to kick around. Just curious, like, how you guys got to know each other, decided to start working together, and get started doing the show back in the day. And since then, you know, what's been some of y'all's biggest challenges and, you know, creative differences working together? Thanks for doing the show. Love it. Appreciate you.
Get out of our head.
Well, first off, thanks for the question. Appreciate it, buddy. We have spoke about how we met several times. Obviously, he's here in LA. He's in New York. You know, we're not exactly neighbors. I'm English. He's Puerto Rican. There you go. We used to do a radio show for SiriusXM. We got combined by SiriusXM. Kind of went from there. But the other part of the question is quite funny. What are some of the creative differences? I think me and Lewis, we almost fucking want to kill each other every week on a weekly basis. You know, timing, schedules, guests, this, that, Harrington. I don't know. Lewis, you spill the beans.
I think the biggest creative differences, not even creative differences, I think like we went through a growing pain period where we were trying to get the technology down.
That was bad.
It's before Zoom was a regular thing. You understand, like nobody was doing podcasts like this for a little while, and it was really janky technology. So we were doing it with like, we tried with Skype, we would try with every different program, and we had real issues to where it was like an hour of trial and error testing, and there was no rhyme or reason. So it'll be like, you reboot the computer, then it works. You unplug the microphone, then and it was so many little variables that I think that was probably the most challenging time for the podcast. Beyond that, it's like
not to mention that every single time it was always my fault. Heaven forbid it be the program's fault. It's like, no, Michael, you haven't done that. Michael, you need to reset your computer. Michael, your microphone is shitty. Michael. And then you used to say, we need to get you a producer in the house. I'm like, no, you don't.
We still do. To this day,
I know
having a producer at his fucking home would. Let me explain to you the difference that it would make.
Go ahead. No. What is going to blow this production value up so much further?
Do you really? I mean, well, here's what we could do.
Brian has been discussing this. Brian has been figuring out ways to take it to the next level.
Brian's up at the. I discussed it, and then Brian did regurgitates my thoughts. You're fucking. What we would do is we would be able to test the lighting, test the video, test the audio in every possible scenario over and over and over again for hours at a time when you're not even there. When you're rock climbing, that can be done versus us having 5 minutes before you blow a gasket and you threaten to kill everybody.
Well, no, I've never blown a gasket and threatened to kill everyone. I think that could be you, Lewis, Mr. Old Temper fucking Tantrum over there.
Yeah, I threaten to kill people fucking nearly daily. At least I admit it. I'm honest. That's the difference between me and you. You're a psycho. I'm a psycho. That's honestly why we work together, is because when we're both being psychos, we have other people in our ears going like, hey, you know you're the same psycho. You can't actually be mad about that.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Brian, what else you got? Give us a proper question this time. Incite arguments, please.
All right. Well, I got a question here from Jordan Samples, and he's asking for some MMA advice.
Oh, God.
All right, I'll give it to him.
All right.
I currently weigh 185 pounds. That's my natural weight. If I was to fight in MMA, what should I do? Should I cut down to welterweight or cut down all the way to lightweight? What would be the best thing? I have no experience in weight cutting. That's a question for Mike Bisping, obviously.
And can I give a little bit of pause it for a second? Pause it for a second. I can answer this question without even... Michael Bisping can't answer this question.
Nobody can answer this question.
Let me tell you what.
I'm a retired washed-up bum, okay? You're the current athlete. You're setting the world on fire. You're the big superstar. I mean, since I've retired... Dieting advances have changed. Nutrition protocols are not the same. It is ever moving, ever evolving, and only somebody in the current sphere would be able to give you up-to-date knowledge. And yes, so you're right. I don't know. Lewis, please, in your infinite wisdom of cutting weight, give the man the fucking advice that he needs.
Well, here's what I was going to say is, nobody can give this man this advice because we don't fucking know his body. We don't know his composition. We don't know if he's got 3% body fat, 10% body fat. Some guys that weigh 185 pounds can make 155.
Stop right there with my trained eye. The amount of years I've been in this. I looked at him, as he was asking the question,
I was analyzing
the body type. I was looking at him. I could see the definition on the shoulder. Bring him back up, Brian. Bring him back up. His shoulders look nice.
Not to get all gay, but his shoulders. You know, I want to just nuzzle.
Stop. See, look. I mean, come on. Look at the complexion on this guy. For one, very towel on the head. Not so sure about that one. But if you see the shoulder, you can see the shoulder muscle meeting the trap. You see the definition on the chest. So you're just hearing the question and just going off it. I'm looking. I'm
I'm absorbing the question. I'm seeing it and I'm already breaking it down. I know this guy like the back of my hand. I can say right now, if you're 185 pounds with that composition, with that low body weight, you do not want to go any lower than 170. It would be detrimental to your performance, okay? You could make 170 at the weekend if you wanted, but I wouldn't go lighter than 170.
Okay, well, that's what I would have said too.
Yeah, no, so. But you're right, you know. And there was a second part before you rudely interrupted, Lewis.
Sorry.
And a question for both of you. What are your morning routines? Love from Whitby, North Yorkshire.
Oh, nice one. I knew I heard a Yorkshire accent there. Whitby, shout out Whitby in North Yorkshire. Lewis, morning routine, go ahead. Dazzle the world.
Get up at 6 a.m., jump on Twitch, play some video games for about 2 hours, beat off, brush my teeth, have some breakfast.
Sounds like a solid morning. Same. No. Lie in bed. Rebecca brings me a coffee. Drink the coffee. Look at my email. Do all that type of stuff. Rebecca brings me another coffee. Look at social media, that type of stuff. Ask for another coffee. Rebecca brings me that. And then I find some kind of excuse not to get up. Then I feel nauseous from the coffee. Then I go to the bathroom. I throw up because I've drank 3 coffees on an empty stomach.
Do you really throw up?
Some of the times I do.
Drinking 3 cups of coffee in the morning.
I like coffee.
Okay.
And I'm doing my intermittent fasting, so I got to do it on an empty stomach. It makes me throw up. I'll be sitting there and I'll just go up, bleh, and I just get super nauseous and throw up. Then I go into the gym, I have a workout, I have a good solid workout. Then I come out, I shower, get dressed, and you know, depends what I got going on that day. But that's generally how I start my days these days, you know. So, there you go.
Not a bad life.
Well, that is the show, I think, right, Lewis? So, should we do one more? We'll save the rest for another time.
We got time for one more. I can wait for one more.
All right. Brian?
All right. So this one is from Albelina Barisha. She made sure to put the pronunciation in.
Ooh.
So I got it right.
We're back. Believe you me, Mr. Bisping. How you doing?
Good, Lewis. Well, not that good. My bad knee's been replaced and my good knee's been replaced with a measly silver knee replacement. I wanted that, but I got like some measly quarter mansion peasant treatment. All the well, hit the bags today. Shout out Imran, shout out Sanibor. Thank you.
That's rules.
Oh, no. Stop talking over it, Lewis, because if you keep talking, I can't fucking hear it. Back it up, Brian, back it up. This is brilliant. This is awesome.
Holy shit.
This is awesome. Back it up a bit.
Just a tea, babe. Thank you. How are you, Lewis? I've been good. I'm hitting the home gym. Look at these butts. You could check out my Luis J. Gomez fight journal. Oh, low-hanging fruit, Luis. Smoke on the camera. Low-hanging fruit. Greetings, Michael Bisping and Luis J. Gomez. My name is Albelina. Question for Michael Bisping. Which UFC fighter do you believe in so much so that you would choose to be their head coach, other than potentially Callum? Lewis, if James decided to be a career cheerleader, how soon would you disown him? Shannon, okay? Fuck Harrington. Shannon's fucking hot. Let's go. Thank you for being consistent. I'm so grateful for you guys. I fucking love the show. Thank you.
Albelina, let me just start off by saying that is potentially the greatest video question we've ever had. Yeah. Delivered amazingly. Great impressions. You're a fucking bitch. And when I catch up with you, I'll give you a little slap. But no, that was awesome.
That was awesome. And she's kind of hot. I didn't realize we have any female fans. And we got this hot female fan with tattoos. And she's a great actress. Great guns. Really enjoyed it.
When I was looking at her, the only problem, I mean, she's better shape than you are, of course, but other than that, a pretty good impression.
Pretty damn good, yeah. What was the question again? What did she ask?
All right, so if I was gonna train a mixed martial artist, who would I train?
If there's one guy that you would say, I want to put the Michael Bisping brand on and train this guy.
Nobody in the UFC, and I'm looking for that guy. I am going to train people. I feel I have a lot of knowledge to hand down to somebody. Obviously, I'm trying to train my kids and whatnot, but I do want to train. You know, I don't know when it is. Right now, I'm not ready because it's, you know, you've got to be selfless to a certain degree. If you're a coach, you've got to give yourself to that other fighter. Right now, I'm still trying to explore life to my fullest ability. I'm still trying to make things happen for me, you know, so it's, you can't, You got to be selfless as a coach. You got to give everything to that fighter. But when I find that young prodigy, that young protege, I'm very, very much looking forward to taking him under my wing and just being that guy, mentoring him, training him up, and hopefully making a world champion.
Well, what would be something that you would look for? Like, all right, let's say you see a young fighter, right? What is something you see? And I think, and we might have touched on this before, but it sort of relates to her question, right? You see something in a young fighter, you're like, oh shit, that can't be taught. This, or you told TJ Dillashaw that he was going to be a champion one day. What was it you saw on TJ that you were like, this guy's going to be a fucking champion one day? And that could sort of relate to, you know, other people as well.
Yeah, well, for TJ, it doesn't really apply, although it does apply, but it's not what I was going to say. When you initially asked what is one thing that you can't teach, the one thing that you can't teach is heart. That's what you're going to have first and fucking foremost. You know what I mean? You got to kind of enjoy being in a fight and you got to have heart. You know what I mean? Because so many people, and I don't necessarily mean heart, you know, to where, oh, he's taking a beating. Is he going to be able to turn this round? But the heart to get out of bed every day when you're fucking in pain and still go to the gym. The heart too, if you're getting your ass kicked, to still continue fighting. You know, you can't teach things like that, that warrior spirit, that need to want to turn things around and still be victorious. You know, you cannot teach that. Okay, skill set can always be taught. You can implement that. You can spend hours doing footwork drills, doing jiu-jitsu, wrestling, all the rest of it. Of course, those skills, if you see them, they're fantastic. But the qualities like the work ethic, like the heart, like the you know, the never giving up attitude, the quitters never win attitude. That's what I want to see from somebody.
That should
be a book. It's a great title for a book. One day somebody will do it. But Lewis, if James said to you, and what was the rest of the question?
If James said to you, a professional cheerleader, how quickly would I disown him? You know, I gotta be honest with you, it's so funny. It's not even to be cheesy and to take it seriously. Like, there's just nothing that my kid could do to make me not fucking love him, you know.
Oh,
whatever.
God.
I know it's you know. It's true.
I know.
It's true.
I know. Listen, I swear to God, this is true. I might have talked about this recently. I don't know, but Lucas, when he leaves our room every night, walks backwards like this until he goes out of view, and he looks very gay. And I joked, and I filmed him on Instagram the other day, and I was going to put on, I don't think we are going to have any kids out of this one when he's older, you know? But, and of course, if he was gay, I wouldn't give a flying fuck, as long as he's happy and as long as he's healthy. But still, that's no fun, Lewis. That's no fun to say that. If James was a cheerleader, I don't care about you. I'm going to fucking love it. I'm going to mention it every single time. Callum's away doing, being a professional wrestler, representing Great Britain. James is on the road with the best fucking cheerleaders you've ever seen. He's great.
I knew
great.
A kid in high school who was a cheerleader, this kid, Nick Wargo. And I'll tell you right now, this kid-
lot of pussy.
Tons of pussy. All that, he would hang out with all the girls. They would treat him like he was best friend. I'm sure that he had all their deep dark secrets. It was great. So, but yeah, like, you know, my son, you know, he wants to fucking dance. I think he likes to sing. He likes to do everything. My son, he's very, he'll do like martial arts and he'll do like little boy things, but he's also,
A renaissance man.
A little bit.
He's a renaissance man. Well, we know that my son goes 5 foot up a wall and fucking starts crying and begging and all the rest of it. So he might be in a cheerleading team. Who knows? But that's the end of our show. And if you are in a cheerleading team and you are male, hey, good for you. We're just kidding. Check out our next show. We'll be back on
not.
Thursday.
What are you going to do? Beat us up?
Yeah,
probably
go fuck
not.
Yourself. Go fuck yourself. We couldn't care less. Tune in, subscribe, tell your mates. And until Thursday, we'll catch you later. Take care.
Thanks, guys.